السلام عليكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
دوما لا إله إلا الله. اللهم ربي هذه الدعوة. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي بنعمه تتم الصالحات. الحمد لله الذي قدر كل ما هو آت وكل ما هو فات. نسأله عز وجل موجبات رحمته. نسأله الفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. I bear witness there's no deity save Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger and his mercy to all mankind. We pray to him to shower his mercy and his blessings upon all the prophets and upon our Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon all of them. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to start by congratulating you for the Hijra year 1439. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and make it a better year than the preceding years. Obviously, my khutbah today will be about Hijrah. But I would like to depart from the traditional aspect of the Hijrah, which I hope by now all of us know it, the steps and the historical endeavor and what it's before and after. So I feel we've heard that quite often, and you can always read it, inshallah. And I think it's important that you read, and it's loaded with a lot of stories. Today I'd like to venture into why, or at least to shed some light on why Muslims, the companions, chose the Hijra to demark their history. We all know the story that Abu Musa sent a letter to Umar, was telling him, I received a letter from you, a document, that it has only the month Sha'ban, but didn't tell me which year. And Arabs, the Muslims inherited from the Arabs the months, but not the year. So there were debate, and the Shura, the approach of Islam and the Muslims is you gather and you have the people, and they were discussing should be the Isra al-Mi'raj, should be the birth of the Prophet, should be the revelation, the date of the revelation, and there were so many options. But obviously what trumped them all, stood tall, was the issue of the Hijrah. The Muslims saw not in the beginning of the revelation, but they saw in the Hijrah, they saw in it what started the new history for us, what, you know, the Hijrah year. So that will be the reason I picked this topic, because I believe it's very important. Now, when you look at the Quran, you look at Islam, you look at linguistically, I won't go too depth into it, but Hijrah means is when you forsake. And what is known to us, هَاجَرَ فُلَانٌ مِنْ بَلَدٍ إِلَى بَلَدٍ, is to forsake that country that you were born in, that you live in, to another country. So the physical hijrah, it's common. We are used to that a lot. But also, and I'm being simplistic, also there is, the Quran introduces us, yes, there is a physical hijrah, but also something that the scholars call the spiritual hijrah. فَالرِّجْسَ وَالرِّجْسَ فَهْجُرْ. Forsake the domain of evil. All evil. So here it is not necessarily, and this was early part of the Mecca period, not necessarily the physical exodus to leave and to emigrate, but really it could be the spiritual approach to forsake the domain of evil in its entirety. So, keeping that in mind, I'd like us to also look at the Quran, how the Quran dealt with the hijrah. Now, you look at the Madani surahs, Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa, Al-Anfal, Tawbah, and all in between. They all talked about the hijrah. And the interesting that the Tawbah, which is the ninth, it is almost the ninth year, the Tawbah came and the Quran was still talking about the Hijrah. And that's a year before the Prophet leaves. And a year after, when the Prophet said there's no more Hijrah to me, after they conquered Mecca, so the physical Hijrah, what was mandatory from before, all the Muslims, especially the people in Mecca, they should forsake that place and come to the Prophet. That ended on the 8th when the Muslims conquered Mecca. Yet the Tawbah came after and the Quran was still talking about the Hijrah. So, and there are a lot more, but it means Hijrah meant not just an event. Hijrah is more than an event. To the Muslims, they saw the Hijrah as leaving, forsaking a domain where they were oppressed, where their life was threatened, where people were killed because of their Muslim identity, where they live in an environment, political environment of oppression, and they moved to the Medina, where now it is a domain of freedom and liberty, where the believers and the Muslims can live their life. They can fulfill and express their identity without fear on their life and without tyranny and oppression. So this to Umar and to the companions who made that decision, they felt this is a momentous point in their history that it deserves to be celebrated by the calendar. And we find the Quran underlines that this is a way of life, brothers and sisters, which I will, in my khutbah today, I will emphasize on that. So I think, I hope now we can see the importance and why more or less. Now Muslims, they lived, you know, when you are in Mecca, you live in your home and resources and family, and you have emotional and financial ties, and you know, you don't just uproot yourself and leave without some preparation. And Muslims, early on when they lived in Mecca, and I will use two terminologies. One terminology is the Mecca period is when the Muslims lived in Mecca for about 13 years, and I will use Madani period, where it is in Medina where Muslims lived there, at least the Prophet lived there for about 10 years. So when the Muslims were still in Mecca, they were introduced to this concept of Hijrah, to this philosophy, to this fundamental aspect of this religion, Islam, through the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know his story too well, you know, at an early age, some people say early adolescence, 10, 11 years old, he was started to question the faith and the identity of his family and his community. And I won't go into his story, but I will pick certain aspects. In Surah Maryam, which is a Makki, which around 4th-5th year of the Makki period, you will find what Ibrahim's father told his son. He told him in verse 46, in chapter 19, verse 46, قُلْ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And you are talking to Ibrahim. You are rejecting and turning away from my gods. If you don't stop, لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. If you don't stop, I will stone you to death. And stay away from me as far as you can. Listen to this. لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. It reached a point, the hostility of that environment, that you will be killed for your identity. For the mere fact expressing that I believe in the Lord of this universe. Feeling free, feeling that does not make sense to me. His life was threatened. And we know that later on he was thrown in fire and so on. But yet, we find here now the environment that Ibrahim found himself in was very hostile. Oppression, tyranny, death, and exactly what the Muslims were experiencing in Mecca. We all know in the first few years of Mecca, Muslims went through a lot, torture and death and so on. So it is resonating now. So here Ibrahim now goes, and at that moment what he would tell them, the verses continue, the same chapter, verse 48, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. I'm going to withdraw away from what you are believing in. This is what I like what the scholar said. This is what they call a spiritual hijrah. It wasn't physical. He did not leave. But his heart and his mind refrained, stayed away, withdrew from the practices of the society and the practice of the family. So this is phase one, brother and sister. This is step one, is when the heart and the mind do that hijrah. You are forsaking the evil of that society. Oppressed, believing in gods, things didn't make sense to him, but more importantly, that his identity could not be expressed because he was threatened to be killed. Here is the first step, was the spiritual hijrah of Ibrahim. That was in Surah Maryam. It's around the 4th-5th year of the Hijrah, of the Meccan period. I like to go to Surah Al-Ankabut, which is later part of the Mecca period, and we find there is a transformation now. Here now, there's a level of frustration. Yes, I withdrew spiritually. I did the spiritual Hijrah, but I was hoping for a change. I was hoping that there'll be something different. And the Quran talks about that didn't happen because they, means his community, were in love. They were, you know, the at-taqlid, blind imitator. They were in love in their ancestors and they couldn't see themselves departing from their faith. So this is what we inherited from them. We love them. We're not going to change. So that emotion blocked the reason that Ibrahim got frustrated. And then he did. And we know that his nephew, Lut, converted to his faith. And Ibrahim says, إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Here now, Ibrahim is saying is, I am going to take a physical hijrah. Remember, we went first spiritual hijrah, now a physical hijrah. But the key that I want to underline, and look, he didn't say, I am seeking to go to Syria or to, you know, another city, or go to Palestine, or I'm just leaving this land to another land. No. He is saying is, I am forsaking this evil, this domain of evil that I belong to, that has really threatened my life and my identity, to God. So what does that mean? It means I will leave physically here, but I will leave not to a better place where better environment or better condition or better weather or better economy. No, but to a place where I can live my identity and worship God the way it ought to be worshipped. Another place where I could live the values of monotheism. So you see, brothers and sisters, this is important. Because when your vision is clear, then the planning becomes clearer and you can execute upon it without wasting resources. I go to this land, I realize it's not a land of freedom. Yeah, economy is good, but it's not a land of freedom. Then I leave, then I go, we waste time, you waste resources. No, Ibrahim is teaching us the hijrah, physical now, but with the clarity. What I'm seeking a domain where I can live who I am and worship God the way I ought to worship. In other words, I need a land of liberty, land of freedom, land of justice, land where I could live in dignity. So this is the example, a vivid example that the Muslims experience in the Mecca period. From beginning to the end, they went through these two phases, spiritual hijrah and the physical hijrah. So when the time came, and I don't want to go through the details, but when the time came and the Prophet mandated and he left, and it was the exodus from Medina, from Mecca to Medina, and it was mandated upon Muslims to leave and to come to the Medina because it was the land of liberty, of freedom, where people can express who they are and live the values of Islam the way it was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That becomes to them was part of who they are because of these verses of the Quran and because of the story of Ibrahim. So here now, I won't go into the details. As you all know, the Prophet left. He is in Medina now. And then it becomes mandatory upon the people to flock to him, to come to him. And we find the Quran does something very interesting. Throughout the period, up to the ninth year, the Quran kept twinning things together. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا. And you will find it continuously repeated. Those one who believe, those one who forsake the domain of evil, and those on who they strive for the cause of God, and the Quran gives different examples about them. But you will find these three always weaved together. In other words, it was to bring to our attention that if you are a believer, the fruits of your faith should, in number one, to forsake the evil domain that you find yourself in. Number two is to employ the resources that God gave you to strive to change the conditions to a better condition. And the Quran, there are so many verses about that. I will stop only on two. One of them is in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 74. Here the Quran is talking, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوُوا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. And they who have attained to faith and who have forsaken the domain of evil and are striving hard in God's cause, as well as those who shelter and succor them, it is they who are truly believers. Now the Quran elevates the language to هم المؤمنون حقا, underlining, if you want to be a true believer in God, you have to take this forsaking of evil seriously, and you have to strive for God's cause seriously if you want to have a complete faith. And I go to chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, and there are a verse that I find it to be of a great importance and something that I'd like us to ponder on right after I leave as well. The Quran is talking about, in verse 95-96, it's talking about the two types of believers, the passive and the active. The passive believers who are on the sideline. You're watching a game, you sit behind, you have your drink, and you're comfortable, and you have your family around you. You're watching. Those are the passive. And the active, they are on the field, getting hammered, getting sweat, they're getting bumped, they fall, they get injured, they get up. Those are the active. They are really in the trenches, fighting for what is good and for what is right. And Allah is saying us, they're not equal. Yes, you might be a believer, you pray and you fast, and this is good. And you'll be rewarded. But you are no way to be equal or close to those one who are active. This is 95-96. And here it comes, the verse I want to you to reflect on. It's verse 97. It's talking about those one who they die. And the angels come to them. And then they asked them, قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. Why did you accept, in other words, why you accept to be passive? Why you accept the status quo? Environment, a lot of evil in it, a lot of things were wrong, and yet you were just watching. Why? So they said, قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We were weak. We couldn't do much. We were overwhelmed by the media, we were overwhelmed by the political status, we were overwhelmed by those who manipulate the economy. There were so many forces that crippled us, we couldn't move. That's why we were not active. The angels respond, قالوا, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَ فَتُهَاجِرُ فِيهَا. Wasn't God's land wide enough for you to relocate to another city, to another state, to another land? Here, brothers and sisters, look out how the Quran wraps up this important call. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Ya Latif. Those will have a serious punishment, and based on the consequence of their acts. Well, this verse makes it very clear that it is not an option for a believer to be inactive. It's not an option for a believer to be passive. It's not an option for a believer to accept the evil and say, there's nothing I could do about it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله. الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters, the first khutbah I wanted to underline that the hijrah, the physical and the spiritual hijrah, it is not an event that comes and go, but it is a way of life. It is not optional. It is but a journey, like it was for the companions in the Madani period. Throughout the Quran revelation kept reminding them, it ought to be for us throughout our life and to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the early Muslims, they saw that to forsake the domain of evil, seeking the domain of God, where you could express and live the universal values of God Almighty, of equality and justice and mercy and freedom and liberty, that is fundamental. And Muslims felt that moment in history, because it's not a historical event, but it is a transformation, it is a way of life, it is a philosophy that a believer should exemplify throughout his journey until he meet or she meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question that I'd like us to leave with, as usual, is we the Muslim American, we don't have to embark upon, at least the majority of us, we don't have to embark upon the physical hijrah. But definitely, we have no choice but to embrace the spiritual hijrah. So what that means, we are in a very peculiar place at a peculiar time. Where, what does that mean? How do I exemplify, how do I live this spiritual hijrah, where I don't find myself guilty in the sight of the angels, nor that I be reprimanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because it is, as we saw, it is a fundamental piece of our identity, being a believer in God Almighty, in one God. So if I am to look around now, I don't want to go in the past. Now, what is the evil that we are experiencing? Discrimination. Whether based on religion, Muslims and Islamophobia, I don't need to go through that. Based on a color, if I'm a black, if I'm a white, we all know the story of young black men and what they endure. whether gender, whether it is ethnic, you are dark, you are white, you are Latino, you are this, you are that, all based on sex, whatever it is, when it comes to discrimination, it is an evil and it is the hands of Satan in it, and we should forsake it and we should stand against it. The second one, also the, you know, anyone feels humiliated. You know, we have, they say, about 11 immigrants, our brothers and sisters, who they live with us and they have families, and now they talk about to uproot them, and then they are constantly living in fear. This is the hands of Satan. This is an evil thing. To people continuously living in fear, looking over their shoulders, not too sure if they could make it home to see their children because they might be stopped, they might be imprisoned, this or that. This is also the hands of evil brothers. Anytime human dignity is compromised, you know that evil has something to do with it. Last but not least, we all know about bullying. To bully people, whatever, however you do it, whether you bully individuals, you bully a community, or you bully a state, this is also evil. So for us, it's very clear we don't have a choice but to stand against all these because we consider them to be a domain of evil, brothers and sisters. And let us make sure that we exit today realizing that this is not, when we are talking about discrimination, against discrimination, or talking about humiliation of immigrants and others, or talking about bullying, it's not because it's politically correct. Oh, people might say, this is, it serves you, the Muslims. No. Whether we like it or not, as we saw from the first khutbah, it is in the heart of who we are. We are in a business of pleasing God Almighty, and we are over business living Islam. And as we saw, it is in the heart of Islam to forsake all types of evil and to strive for righteousness and to strive for goodness. So I hope and pray that this year we start with a good orientation, that we are people who are out there to change the conditions, not only for us. As a Muslim, we are mandated to change the conditions for all humanity. As long as their dignity is compromised, our job to restore their dignity and make them feel proud. Whether they are the immigrants across the world, whether they are immigrants here, whether wherever they are, it is our duty. And let us commit today and let us have determination to live Islam the ought to be lived. And we commit ourselves to really forsake all sorts of evil and to strive to employ what Allah has blessed us to change the conditions to a much better, inshallah. So let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts, to strengthen our faith, and to make this Hijri year a blessed year for all of us and for all those who are in need. We ask you, Allah, to strengthen our faith and instill in our hearts the love and the compassion and the strength that is needed, so we'll be those candle of light and candle of hope for the rest of our nation and for the rest of the world. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم. أدعو الله أقم الصلاة.